Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, that was awesome worship. Absolutely wonderful. We could have just done that for the next hour. I want to share a word with you this morning, and when I started working on this, I wasn't sure where he was going to go, but I knew that the topic that Pastor Jan, Pastor Rod had started, I was to add to it, and so that's what I'm going to do. A little bit different, but I believe very crucial in this hour. Very crucial. And so, Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come. You're here so wonderfully already. Lord, I've written, and Lord, you can change it or add to it. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you, Lord, for revelation even as I speak. And I thank you, Lord, that you're ministering to hearts. And Lord, amazingly enough, I say one thing and you'll speak to them and they'll hear something else. So, Lord, you know exactly what we need. And so I ask that you distill it as it's needed. Amen. So I want to start with the scripture that was really the key scripture, and I'm going to share it out of the Passion Translation, because it is just so powerful in that translation, and it's Proverbs 4:23. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. So above all, guard the affections of your heart. And I think we're in a season where we need to guard the affections of our heart. We need to guard our heart against everything that we're hearing and seeing, and keeping our eyes on the Lord. So this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about negativity. And something that I had to grow out of. For the last month, we've been looking at scriptures about guarding our hearts. And that's the source for everything, our heart. Out of it flows bitter waters or fresh water. And what we put into our heart is very important. And people need to have hope, and we're the hope givers in this hour. And so if we come under the same oppression and stress and anxiety that the world has, then how can we release hope and peace and rest to them, right? So I believe we're in an hour where God is really turning the searchlight on. And it's for a reason. He is working on our hearts. Pastor Rod talked about offenses. And that was an amazing message. And it was time to search our hearts. It was time to sit down and say, God, am I offended? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but don't even recognize when we're offended. So the Holy Spirit really has to begin to just reveal that to us. And, you know, I went home, and the first day, I got busy Sunday. And I didn't sit with the word that Pastor Rod preached. And then Monday morning came, and I sat down to have my time with the Lord. And cha-ching, guess what? As soon as I sat really quiet and stilled myself and got into worship, the Holy Spirit began to reveal. And I said, Lord, show me. Because I don't want my heart to be hardened. I don't want to grow lukewarm or cold towards you and towards mankind. And so I need you to show me. Then Pastor Jay last Sunday spoke about having a dark heart versus a red heart that's full of life and vibrant and that's been so open to the Lord and everything's out of it. And one of the things he mentioned was bitterness and unforgiveness. Again, Lord, check my heart. What's there that I'm not seeing? What's hidden from my eyes, from my spiritual eyes? What have I buried that's under there? Lord, dig it up. Because, Lord, in this hour, I believe that our hearts have to be so healed and so in tune with him that when he speaks, we hear. And when he says, look at that, I want you to deal with that, we see it. Because our hearts are so healed and in tune with him. And he's always going to be working on us. But, you know, we got to respond to him when he's working. In order to walk in the next season, we need to deal with the hidden issues of our hearts. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, this is David. He says, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain I'm walking on. Isn't that interesting? See if there's any path of pain I'm walking on. This is the Passion Translation. And lead me back to your glorious everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. And so, again, it's that. And this is not introspective, oh, woe was me kind of, you know, oh, I'm so sinful and all that stuff. It's, Holy Spirit, when I'm in your presence, just show me. Right? Because I want to put on the new me. In fact, the topic is putting on the new you. And I just want to put on the new me. And you want to put on the new you that he's already put inside of you. It's there. In Genesis, it states that God made us in his image and likeness. He still has the same dream on his heart. And that dream is to see people walking on the earth who walk like he did. That's his dream. When it was lost in the garden, he sent Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. That was step number one. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us so that we could walk in the world as he does. That was step number two. And number one was necessary in order to be able to send the Spirit of Jesus back to live within us. Amen? So we have him living inside of us. And that's amazing. So when we walk as he did, we're the visual aid to people to be able to accept Jesus Christ. So if we look just like the world, how can they see Jesus? And if we're strung out because we've hit the panic button, then how can they see Jesus? So it's crucial in this hour that we work along with the Holy Spirit. So God has given each one of us an identity. It doesn't come from our parents or the world around us. He has a plan for us to walk out since the foundation of time. And so our identity is given to us by him. My identity is made up of who I am here on earth and who I am known as in heaven. I want you to hear that. It's who I am here on earth, but who I am known as in heaven. And I remember a day I was monitoring the platform for Pastor Jeff at Whitehorse Christian Center. And after all the prayer time for the people was done, I stepped down from the platform and this man walked up to me. And he was one of the guest speakers. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Gary, I want you to know the Lord says you're known in heaven and you're also known in hell. And at that time, I was an intercessor. I was working with Watchmen, and so it was international. And when he spoke that, and I got it several times after that, when we pray and we're powerful prayer warriors, hell knows that we're there. But heaven knows who we are too. We're not just on this journey to try and get to heaven or to, you know, just make it. We're already in heaven. We're walking here on earth as it is in heaven. There is a difference once we go to heaven, but that's not our focus. Our focus is to be thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so the more you and I take on Jesus, the more he can manifest himself through us, the more damage is done to the enemy's kingdom. And the more people can see what Jesus really looks like. All of us are aware that society is changing, and it has been changing for the last 10 years. From leaders to politicians to business people to what you see on the network, what you can access on the internet, on television, it's utterly, dare I say, disgusting. I can't remember before that people being so openly critical of other people, defaming people, destroying people verbally, cutting them off verbally, watch interviews, people cut each other off. There's no honor, no respect. So do we as a church need to come with a different spirit? Yes, we do. People are not at all afraid to destroy anybody and leave them shattered along the road. People lash out and say things that are unimaginable. And language is now used that's unimaginable. I walked into doctor's office the other day and then the lab. And they have a sign up now. And I was trying to remember the words this morning, but the gist of it is, don't use any foul language. Don't get angry with us. Don't lose your temper on us. Can you imagine in our day having to put a sign up? And they said, if you do, we will call the police. I thought, Lord, what have we come to that someone who's a receptionist would get reamed out by someone coming for an appointment? And so it's all around us. And it's in the atmosphere above us. And so we can easily find ourselves tapping into it. For those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we are born again, generational negativity is dealt with at the cross. He takes care of it. It's done. And I'll go into that a little bit later. But we have habits. Right? Behaviors that are from our old nature that God is trying to shift to make us become like him. Romans 6:11-14. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and your relationship to it broken, but alive in God, in broken fellowship with him, in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts and its passions. Now, we have habits and we have behaviors, but when the Holy Spirit starts to put his finger on those things and we just blatantly don't want to listen to him, now we're into a sin issue, right? Because now it becomes disobedience. So we're supposed to be dead in our negativity. There's no negativity in heaven, because it wouldn't be heaven if it was still there. Heaven's filled with hope, love, faith, trust, joy, peace. There's no place for negativity there. I was raised in a home, a good home, but in a home where conversation most often was negative. It's all I remember. We had come from Holland. I don't remember that in Holland, and I was 9 when I came over. But once we got here, everything shifted and it became very negative. My parents had to work hard. We lived a little bit away from town, so we were isolated. My mom didn't speak any English. We didn't have a vehicle. We couldn't talk to go to the grocery store. Family members were dying in Europe, and we'd get a phone call or a letter. You couldn't go. You couldn't be part of anything. And I just remember, you know, the talk between my parents was negative. And that's what I heard. And that's what I grew up with. I don't blame them. Life was horrific for them. It took a long time for that to turn around. But ingrained in all three of us, my brother and sister and I, is this really a foundation of being negative. And so being positive wasn't modeled. Having hope wasn't modeled. And then one day God calls me into ministry to be a pastor. Oh, yay. Now I still have that mindset. And it wasn't until I started working with Pastor Jeff Johns that he began to put his finger on it, because he was my pastor and my mentor. And he said, Gary, you always see the glass half full. And you always see all the wrong, but you don't see all the good God's doing. It's like my eyes could not see all that he was doing, as Mary shared this morning, all the good things God is doing. It just, I was blinded to it almost as a pastor. And so God began to unravel that in my heart. And he began to heal that so that now I can see the glass half full. And now I can catch myself. What began to happen, actually, as he began to heal me, I began to hear myself speaking negatively. That's how it began to, I'd hear it and I think, oh, I just did it again. And then, Lord, forgive me, show me, teach me how to speak positively. And part of what I had to do was I had to do declarations and really be in the word for God to heal me. And so it was a journey, and it's a journey I think we're all going to be on, because it's going to be very easy when we get around people to get into negative talk right now. To cut up the government, wrong decisions, to cut up President Trump, to be angry with the Americans, all of that stuff is going to be knocking at our doorstep. And it's so easy to slide into that. And I got a long text from someone last night, very negative. And I just said, well, we have prayer and God's in control. And I just left it at that. I thought, I do not want to engage. I thought, oh boy, am I being tested before I preach. You usually are. Anyway, so there's no frustration or anger in heaven. Aren't you glad? Absolute peace. Jesus never spoke negatively. And so we're being conformed to him. Moses asked to see the glory in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And look what Jesus says, or the Father says about himself. I am compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. And then when Jesus began to walk on the earth, Luke 4, 21, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so Jesus is known in heaven as the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He's compassionate. He's long-suffering, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in goodness and truth. You and I have the Spirit of the Lord upon us, and God is making us to become compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, among many other things. Negativity and grumbling often happens when we go through difficult times. And that's what the case was with my parents. My father at one point worked three jobs to try and put food on the table. It was tough. My mother was sick. And there wasn't family to surround and help. We were doing it pretty well alone, and we didn't know the Lord. We were churchgoers, but so in the difficult times, we can grumble and complain. But if we allow the Lord to work in us, transformation happens. It's like a caterpillar that goes into a cocoon and comes out a gorgeous butterfly. And however all that happens, the metamorphosis, that's what God's doing with us. He's transforming us and changing us. And the area where you are, you know, struggling, that's where he's working. So we need to be aware of where we're having our difficulties and know that he's working to transform. And it's wonderful. When we see the Israelites grumbling and complaining in the wilderness, they complained to Moses in Exodus 16, 2 and 3. Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They were hungry, and they began to complain, and the devil twisted their memory of how it really happened. Because they were prisoners, they were being beaten, they were working, they were prisoners. It was horrible for them. But they couldn't remember that. All of a sudden, they, in their memory, saw it as, oh, it was okay back there. And it wasn't. And he does that with us. So we need to be careful. He'll twist the memory. Amen? They got their eyes off the Lord and are off God. He had so much for them and they missed out on it all. When we embrace our identity fully and know who we are, we know how to stand in every situation. And I'm a child of the Most High King. Are you? That's your identity. You're the King's son or daughter. And when we're children of the Lord, we're led by the Spirit of the Lord. Our resources are tied into our identity. In my identity, I am invested with three things. One, legal authority over the enemy. That's automatically mine, and it's yours. Legal authority over the enemy. He's defeated. It says in Colossians that Jesus denuded him. He was stripped of everything. He lost. He's finished. We empower him. And so we've got to stop doing that. He's happy when we're negative. Oh, we're worshiping him. Permission to overcome every obstacle that comes in my path. I have permission to overcome every obstacle because the Holy Spirit does it through me. And the last one is I've been elevated in status. You're elevated in status. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Right? Otherwise, Ephesians 2, 4, and 8 lies to us. And I don't think the word lies. I'll read it. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you and I may be here on earth, but we're also seated with Christ, with our spirit man in heavenly places. So one, we have legal authority. Number two, we have permission to overcome. And number three, we've been elevated to a heavenly status. I mean, how much better does it get? Right? So everything's been given to us to walk this out. So if I am in Christ, then my circumstances are in Christ too. And if the circumstances are difficult, I have the capacity to pray. And I can get brothers and sisters to pray. And I can read the Word. And I can call on the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the circumstances have to respond to the prayer because I'm in Christ. If I'm praying according to his will. You know, oh, can't think of the name of the car, but anyway, that electric car. Tesla, yes. In my little walk with the dog, two went by. I said, what is this? Lord, are you wanting to give me one? I mean, Bell River Road, two Teslas? In a walk with the dog, it's like, woo. But anyway, that's not praying according to his will. Just to give you an example. But I thought it was kind of funny that they went by. So, you know, the word repent means obviously asking for forgiveness, but the bigger thing is change the way you think. So God really is working on changing the way we think. And there's an incredible story in the life of King David that I think is pertinent for you and I. As David ran towards Goliath, he ran in faith because he had a prophetic word that he was going to be king. It had been spoken and prophesied over him. So as he went towards Goliath, that man knew who he was, right? He had been anointed by the prophet David. He wasn't going to die because the prophetic word had not been fulfilled. He wasn't going to die by an uncircumcised giant who was not in covenant with the Lord. David understood that. By running into Goliath, David was actually running through an open door into his destiny. Catch that. He was running through an open door into his destiny. He had battled the lion and the bear, but now he was battling a giant. And he had many more. I was pondering that. I was looking at it. I mean, there's only so much time to preach, so you're limited. But look at twice he could have killed Saul. And twice he let him know he was there. But he said, I won't touch God's anointed. More open doors that he walked through. See, in the middle of our circumstances, when we want to be negative, we've got to look for the open door that's there that God wants us to walk through because they're there. And they're open doors for our next. And they're going to be very important in this season. When the Holy Spirit is wanting to form something in us, he really does show us. And he'll show us in the area, we'll see it best when we see the areas where we're stressed. Because that's where he's trying to work. Is he trying to put long suffering in us? Is he trying to put peace in us? Is he trying to put patience in us? Is he trying to get rid of negativity and turn our tongue around? Oh Lord, put a guard on my tongue that I would only speak what you're speaking. So, what's just on the horizon for us? We don't know as Canadians, right? We don't. But we sing it. His kingdom isn't shaken. And we're not citizens of this kingdom here. We're citizens of him, his. And I do remember 2008 because we had quite a few truck drivers who would have been laid off and stressed so much in that time. God's going to get us through. God's going to provide jobs. Watch what you say. Watch how you speak. Don't give up giving your tithes. Give to the Lord first. He will provide. Every one of those men got another job. Nobody lost their job. And everybody was well because we did it God's way. And his ways haven't changed, so be aware of how you handle this. Our words are powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And with our mouth, we build the house of our future. We do. We need to be very careful in this season what we say. Who we blame, who we judge. We're not supposed to be doing any of that anyway. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. And so it's important in this season that we pray and pray a lot and pray for the right government to come in place. And God has them picked already. He knows what Canada needs. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom and how they work with the U.S. government. Pray for the U.S. government. We pray so that God can move. Our negative words, church, won't do a thing except give the enemy more power. But our prayers, according to the will of the Holy Spirit, will do a whole lot. And our faith on Him, our eyes on Him, will do everything. Because He won't fail us now. Our perceptions have to change. My perception of myself must line up with the will of God. My thinking has to change. So the mind has to be renewed. And that happens in the Word. We have to remember that Jesus doesn't remember all of our negative stuff in the past. Because it's under the blood, right? He washed it all away. We have a memory of it, but He does not. If we go to Him and say, what are you talking about? That's not how I see you. So we have to remember that. They've been washed away. So you and I have to stop carrying around the garbage from the past. Right? Come on, think about it. We drag a lot of stuff behind us sometimes. We have to let it go. It belongs in the past. I shared about my family to give context. But I don't carry that around. Because I watched my mom and dad get saved. I watched them come alive. I watched my mom skip down the road to go to a prayer meeting. She came alive. She got a whole bunch of new friends. She got to go to Florida with them. I mean, that was huge back then. Because God brought a whole new family into their lives. God redeemed it all. And I watched my parents change and speak positive. God redeems everything. So picture God giving you a beautiful new suitcase, and He's packing it with everything that fits who you are becoming as you walk from the present into the future. So you're going on vacation with a suitcase filled with all this wonderful stuff that God's packing in your suitcase. Because He sees the new you, and He sees where He wants to take you, and He sees what He wants to strengthen in you. He sees where you are going to have divine encounters, and only you can have that divine encounter because He's put that special, what is needed in you. Right? Or in you. There may be someone that needs to be healed, and in you already is that faith to heal that person because you yourself have been healed. And so all that is packed into our suitcases because He sees us in our new attire. We're all brand new creations in Christ, and it's time to put off that old stuff that we keep dragging with us. And put on the new. Will we have difficulties? Of course we will. But the key is for us to go sit with Him and ask Him, how do I respond to this? And that's always the challenge, is to pull aside and sit with Him for a little bit. Even if it's only 5 minutes, Lord, what do I do here? You know, you're ready to fly off the handle at somebody, right? You might be very upset when you walk up to the wicket because they canceled your appointment, didn't let you know. But in the spirit, man, we need to step aside and say, Lord, let me present you right now, not me. Because me's not happy. But you are happy all the time. So Lord, present you, right? Our identity becomes stronger, church, as we overcome. And He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we have that in Him. And we're so blessed. So don't engage with negativity. Because where you put your focus, it grows. We give it power. That's the enemy's intent. And just share one more thing and I'm going to close. I have to share it carefully. After my dad died, my mother lived with Jack and I for 4.5 years. And my mom had a very strong, even though she got saved, my mom had a very strong religious spirit on her. And it was just amazing to watch, because when we would take her to conferences with us, it would lift. And we saw this other person come out vibrant and full of joy and happy in the Lord. But once she got back under that religious covering, it was very, very difficult. And it hated me. So put it into perspective. I'm a pastor. She's living in my home. I'm pursuing the Holy Spirit. And I've got someone living in my home that is at me. Because it wasn't my mom, it was a spirit. But I remember talking to a prophet that was in our area at the time. And he said to me, he said, "Gary," he said, "your mother's become an idol for you. The situation around your mom and all the negativity around your mom has become an idol. And your focus is on the problem. The problem's become an idol." Let me put that right. Your focus is there and not on the Lord. So the problem had become so big for me. The enemy kept stirring that thing. And I had to deal with it. I really had to go before the Lord with that and get rid of it. Because it was such a level of frustration because of the spirit realm. Are you following me? Not my mom, the spirit realm. It actually put me in the hospital and the stress of it. And so I had to deal with this. My mom wasn't going to change. We could pray for my mom. She was elderly. I had to learn to cope with it properly. And so when he said, "The problem has become an idol. You've made it bigger than God." I went, "Okay, Lord, I got to deal with this." And then Pastor Jeff came into my home and he stayed with us. Some of you don't know who he is, but he's a pastor in Indiana who is still my pastor and my mentor. And he was in my home, and boy, some of these people are scary. They can read you like mail. And, you know, I'm trying to cover everything up and putting on a nice meal. And afterwards, he turns to me and he says to me, "Gary, to the measure that you love your mother will be the measure that your ministry will go. To the measure you love your mother will be the measure of your ministry." Help, Lord. I mean, those go deep when you get those. And so I just say, from where I've walked and where the God's has taken me and continues to take me, I look at the situation that I'm walking through right now in this season of my life, and I say, "God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What is it that you are building in me for the next? Don't let me miss the open doors in the times of frustration. Don't let me not walk through those doors." And it's a lot of alone time right now, because I don't go anywhere right now. No conferences, no overseas, no nothing. And so it's like, "Lord, what are you doing? What are you working in me? Don't let me not praise you in this season. Don't let me not worship you, because I can never worship you ever again like I can in this season. Because in the difficult seasons, we worship differently than in the mountaintop seasons. And you know that. Sometimes it's like you can hardly get it out to start. And then it's like once you just open your mouth and God begins to move. And it's wonderful. Praise the Lord. I think I'm going to end like Claude does. No. Go home. Anyway, praise God. I was going to go into the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, but I'm not going to. But God is forming all of those in us. And it's one fruit. And when he's working on one, he's working on all of them. It's amazing when we begin to see what he's doing. So, Father, I pray that you would give us all grace for the season that's ahead, whatever that looks like. And, Father, that we would be a people, Father, that would release hope. Father, if we're around people that are speaking negative of our government, that we would not engage other than in a positive way, and that we would seek to pray. And, Father, if the economy gets rough, we thank you that you are faithful. You're a faithful God. You will bring us through as you always have. Every one of us, you will bring us through. There will never be lack because we are your children. We thank you that the Israelites lived in Goshen, and Father, you provided everything for them at that time. So we stay in the center of your will, Lord. We thank you for how you're leading us. Lord, continue to search our hearts. Continue to take out anything that would harden our hearts, that we would be pliable in your hands. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.